Let's take our Bibles, and in this session we'll continue with the events leading up to Jesus Christ's crucifixion and death by going to John chapter 18. Would be our Monday sunset began the 13th of Nisan, and the event that we looked at in detail at this time was the Last Supper, a very eventful occurrence with great teaching, great learning, also prophecies of the denial of Jesus Christ by Peter, as well as the betrayal of Jesus Christ by Judas Iscariot. From the Last Supper, Jesus Christ went out to a place that he had frequented, the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, to pray. And he got a very clear answer to his prayer that there was no other way for mankind's redemption to be accomplished. And his answer was, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." So from the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ was arrested. He was arrested by a group of Roman soldiers, anywhere to 400 to 600 Roman soldiers. It was called a cohort, which is one-tenth of a legion of the Roman army. They had probably been in place in Jerusalem because of the impending Feast of Unleavened Bread. In other words, they had sort of beefed up security for all the number of people that would be coming into Jerusalem. But this Roman cohort came and arrested Jesus, led by Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus with a kiss, led by the chief priests and the captains. Jesus Christ is now under arrest. Now, let's remember that he's given himself to them willingly. He could have walked out of there unscathed, but he had gotten his answer to prayer that he needed to give his life for mankind, so he's willingly doing this. So we'll pick up the record in John chapter 18, verse 12. "Then the band, this cohort, and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him." In our day and time, you'd say they cuffed him. They bound him, his hands, and they led him away to Annas first in verse 13. "For he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year." This is an interesting note. Annas was the high priest to Israel, and that's a lifetime appointment. But the Romans didn't like some of the stuff that Annas did, so they kicked him out. In other words, the Romans came in and were starting to tell the Judeans how to run their religion, and they kicked out Annas, and they turned the chief priest's office over to Caiaphas, who was Annas' son-in-law. Now, the people of Israel didn't recognize this, so they continued to view Annas as being the high priest. But then there was also Caiaphas, who had been put in office by the Romans. So really, in one sense, you have two high priests at this time. "Now Caiaphas," verse 14, "was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known under the high priest, and went in with Jesus to the palace of the high priest." This is Annas. "But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" Very simple question, asking Peter, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And he said, Peter says, "I am not." Remember, Jesus Christ had prophesied that Peter would deny him. Well, here's his first of six denials. There was two sets of three denials, totaling six, that Peter does throughout this evening. This is the first before Annas, and in the proximity of Annas's palace. So it says in verse 18, "And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, 'I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the temple, in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said.'" You know, Jesus Christ is very forthright, very honest. Why are you asking me these questions? You guys all know this. "And when he had thus spoken," in verse 22, "one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, 'Answerest thou the high priest so?' Jesus answered him, 'If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?'" Now, verse 22 in the English seems to indicate that the man, you know, simply slapped Jesus. He struck him with the palm of his hand. And that certainly is one of the meanings of these words, struck with the palm of his hand. But it also has the more severe meaning of to hit with a rod. And the word smitest, of verse 23, would seem to indicate that. So in other words, you know, this captain starts to beat Jesus, potentially with a rod. This is, you know, the first occurrence of many, many, many throughout this 40-plus hour period of Jesus Christ literally getting beaten to a bloody pulp. In the book of Isaiah, it says that he was beaten beyond semblance. In other words, beyond recognition. This is first of the many beatings that Jesus Christ would have incurred. It was before Annas. And then in verse 24, it says, "Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest." The word "had" is not in the text. It says, "Now," very simply, "Annas sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest." Let's pick up the record in Matthew chapter 26. There's not an indication that there's a lot of people involved in the record before Annas. Let's remember that of the two high priests, that the one that was recognized by the Romans, the one that was actually functioning as a high priest to Israel, was Caiaphas. So Jesus is sent to Caiaphas from Annas, and then in Matthew chapter 26, we'll pick up the record in verse 57. It says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." So what was more of a small, more private meeting or appearance before Annas now is much wider, more public. The scribes and the elders were assembled. "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council," this "all the council" refers to the Sanhedrin of Israel. The Sanhedrin was the ruling body of Israel, made up of 70 different people. So now the chief priests and elders and all the council, the Sanhedrin, sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. When it says "all the council," The implication is most, or the great majority of the council, you know, the overriding voice of the Sanhedrin was to seek false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. We know that there was certainly a very notable exception to that, Joseph of Arimathea. We had read that earlier, that he consented not unto the death of Jesus. But the chief priests, the elders, all the Sanhedrin sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. You know, for them to legally, according to the law of Moses, be able to find false witnesses, there would have to be two to agree. And they couldn't get two to agree because they're all liars. But the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Which when Jesus Christ had spoken this, he was speaking of his death and his resurrection. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, you know, you said it. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, showing just great anguish, great disdain. He rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. You know, this has been called the trial of Jesus Christ. There are so many things that made this particular so-called trial illegal according to the law of Moses. It's just unbelievable. But these guys have been so inflamed, as we've seen throughout the word. They've been plotting for days how they can murder Jesus. So now they pronounce a death sentence, that he is guilty of death. Now look what these religious leaders did. Then they spit in his face, which is, you know, in that culture, just a tremendous, tremendous insult. As it is in ours. Then they spit in his face and buffeted him. This word buffeted means to beat with fists. And others smote him with the palms of their hand. This is that same word that we had back in John that can mean to strike with the palms of your hands, but in context means they beat him with rods. And then it says, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? So what they do, they continued to mock him. You know, one thing that we'll see throughout these days of Christ's sufferings is the incredible physical torture that he took. You know, the repeated physical beatings, being beaten up, these inflamed, devil spirit possessed religious leaders, some of which were born again of the Satan seed, just leveled their fury, the incredible wrath of their father the devil upon Jesus Christ. So he endured incredible physical sufferings. But how about the mental anguish? You know, how about the ridicule? And what were they doing? They're making fun of him. You know, you prophesied Jesus. Well, why don't you prophesy now? And they're egging him on, trying you know, to get him to respond, to get all riled up. You know, as we've seen prior to this, two of his closest apostles, one betrayed him, gave him over to this murderous throng. The other, Peter, is in the midst of all throughout the night denying him. Man, oh man, you talk about the sufferings of Christ. Look at what he went through for all of us. How about we look at this same record in Mark chapter 14. Now this is taking us over into what we would call our Tuesday, the beginning of our day Tuesday, but this is all throughout the night of the 13th of Nisan. Remember, the Judean reckoning of time started with dusk, sunset. After sunset came the Last Supper, and then the Garden of Gethsemane, as we've seen, and then his arrest, and he's taken to Annas. Now he's with Caiaphas, so we're well into the early morning hours of our Tuesday, but on the 13th of Nisan. But look at it in Mark chapter 14, in verse 65, it says, "And some began to spit on him." This is the same record that we just read in Matthew. "And to cover his face, and to buffet him." And this is that same word that we had in Matthew that means to beat repeatedly with fists. They just started slugging him. And what's additional information here is that they covered his face. "And to say unto him, prophesy, and the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands." This is that one that can mean to hit repeatedly with rods. The additional information is that they covered his head. They covered his face so he couldn't see. And then they said, "Well, prophesy. You know, who is it that's hitting you? Why don't you prophesy? Why don't you predict Jesus?" So again, making fun of him, ridiculing him of the power of God that he had operated so perfectly and so profitably in his life. Look at Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, this is basically what went on all night. Luke chapter 22, verse 63, it says, "And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when he had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is he that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him." Again, not just the physical torture that he's going through, but the mental abuse, the incredible ridicule. No human being likes to be ridiculed, made fun of. No human being likes to go through any kind of mental anguish like this. But look at the extent to which they put Jesus Christ through. And this is all the religious leaders of Israel, the people that Jesus Christ had so loved and come to serve. Just words don't begin to convey what Jesus Christ would have gone through and the price that he was paying for all of our redemption. What is also recorded in this particular chapter in Luke, chapter 23, or 22, excuse me, is the last of Jesus Christ's denials, or the denials of Jesus Christ by Peter. And it says, in verse 61, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." You know, Peter was able to look on what was going on in this torture of Jesus Christ. "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Throughout this Monday night and Tuesday morning, by our reckoning of time, Peter had denied Jesus Christ in total 6 different times. This last one, he actually looks on the face, this bloodied, beaten up face of Jesus Christ, and he remembers the prophecy that Jesus had spoken. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Man, oh man, think of what it must have been like for Jesus Christ to be going through this incredible torture. But this is just really the beginning of it. It starts, what is our Monday night? It goes on all Tuesday up until sunrise and then continues. And in our next session, we'll pick up the record with the beginning of the 14th of Nisan.